Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Winning Family Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about something that I know, especially if you're married, every married couple can relate to. You ready for this? We're talking about conflict, specifically when sparks fly. So how do we talk through and work through this point of contention that impacts so many couples? We're talking about the strong-willed marriage relationship. So today, let's unpack it a little bit.
We've been married
for 33 years.
That's right.
And as the old TV commercial says, we've learned a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
This is true.
After 33 years of marriage.
That's right. Yeah, I'm the oldest of four girls. You're the youngest of four boys. And when we met each other, we thought that you thought I was perfect. I thought you were perfect. Head over heels in love with each other.
Yes.
And then we got married and I was still perfect, but you had some challenges.
You know, I heard I heard an amazing stat to build off of that.
Oh, you ready for this?
The number one leading cause of divorce. You know what it is?
What is it?
It's marriage.
Yes.
You know what the second leading cause of divorce is? You ready
Thinking
for this?
Your way is always right.
Exactly. Bingo. Bingo. And that's what causes combustion.
Yes.
Conflict.
That's right.
Chaos.
That's right.
And, but obviously we're trying to make light of a very real and very, I know, emotionally loaded topic because it's hurtful. You know, it causes a lot of pain in many couples. And, you know, that's without question, you know, as in the past, being a pastor now for, you know, 25 years, hands down, it's one of the most requested, you know, conversations that couples want to have. It's just dealing with the subject of she sees things her way.
Mm-hmm.
I see things my way.
Right.
You know, she's unwilling to bend. I don't want to bend. And so, you know, at some point, you know, a lot of times many couples would just kind of like write off a marriage because in their mind, they're thinking, oh, well, you know, we're just not compatible. Well, the truth of the matter is, and don't take offense to this for those of you who are watching, but the bottom line is, it's not an issue of compatibility as much as it is as an issue that we all struggle with. It's called self-centeredness. And so if we are not careful, we can let our pride, we can allow our determination, we can allow our perspective, we can allow maybe even our hurts from our past. We can allow all of these things to, if anything, stand between us and the person that we love the most.
Right.
And so that's why I think it's so important that couples really understand how to deal with conflict. Because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it could be over anything. It could be over, you know, spilling the coffee or not making the coffee right. It could be, you know, pick your poison. You know, whatever it is, it's an issue.
Absolutely.
Of,
there's major challenges in marriage as well, not just spilling the coffee.
Sure.
I mean, when what I mentioned earlier, that I'm the oldest of four girls, you're the youngest of four boys. And when we got married, it took us a little bit to adjust to each other. We were both used to probably getting our own way. And we learn and we imprint from the marriage of the home that we grew up in, or marriages from the home that we grew up in.
Yeah, you learn by what you saw, what you heard. So
that's
if your parents were always yelling at each other or giving each other a cold shoulder or ignoring or isolating from each other, you're going to probably fall into the same pattern.
Yes, or if one is always was getting their way and... Yeah, there's all kinds of things that you can run into in your marriage. And after a few years, you and I had to really kind of come to terms with some things and really learn some skills to deal with conflict in our marriage that we really had not learned prior to that. But we were getting to the point where it was getting to be, sparks were flying.
Right.
And it was time to figure things out. But there are all kinds of challenges that marriages face. And we like to call it the strong-willed marriage, because there truly are strong-willed people, and sometimes two strong-willed people marry each other. In fact, a lot of times they do. And so there's things that we have to learn to deal with when that happens. I would say that you and I are both very strong personalities, and that's why it's close to our heart.
Yeah, and they say opposites attract, mm-hmm. attract each other. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, opposites also can attack each other.
That's right.
And so here's the thing, that let's just break this down real quick. So I think it's important, just you kind of using the phrase spark, you know, when mm-hmm. sparks fly, if you will, when it comes to just disagreements or, you know, opinions, arguments, things that, you know, ultimately mm-hmm. Cause conflict. Well, sparks reveal what's in our hearts. So that really comes down to something that we have to do daily, and that's just surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender our lives, our heart, our mind, our will, our emotions to God's will, to right. God's ways.
Right.
So when we're focused on our ways and we're focusing in on, you know, what we want, what we desire, our preferences, mm-hmm. well, that's the whole problem. Is again, the focus is on self.
Right.
And so the letter I is right in the middle of the word pride. Mm-hmm. So pride sometimes can be one of those issues that if we're unwilling to surrender to God and submit to God and ultimately do that on a day by day basis, then we're going to be very vulnerable and fall into the temptation of just doing what I want to do.
Right.
And absolutely. That's what causes problems.
Absolutely. And it's our natural tendency. The Bible talks about it's our flesh. That's our natural tendency, unless we're surrendering and submitting to the Holy Spirit in our life and surrendering to God, like you said, on a daily basis. James 4, 7 through 8 is very clear. It says, surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer and closer to you. I love that scripture. And just that surrender, it is a daily choice that we have to make. And life isn't a chance. It's not going to happen by chance. We have to make the choice, and it has to be a part of our daily habits to surrender to God. That's the very first thing. Yeah. And then the next step is to allow him to lead you in your relationship, mm-hmm. which is again, not leaning into the flesh, but in allowing the Spirit to guide and direct you when it comes to your love and your joy and your peace in your relationship. And that's not, it should be easy to allow the Spirit to do that, but it's not, because we have the flesh that we deal with. It's a daily battle between the two.
Yeah. And that's what we have to be willing as a couple. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to not only do that toward each other, but we can't do it toward each other. We can't like surrender toward each other until we ultimately surrender to ourselves. We can't.
God.
Yeah, to God.
Yes.
We're individually, we're coming before God.
Yeah.
We are surrendering our will to his will, to yes. his ways.
Yes.
And that's when we're able to start surrendering more towards one another, in the sense of, you know, giving the other person, you know, the benefit of the doubt. It right. is working together rather than working against.
Yes.
And we can't do that naturally. It's harder to do it naturally, but we need God's help. Only through the Holy Spirit's power, you know, can we do this on a day-by-day basis. It's dying to self. It's surrendering daily.
Yeah.
It's not what we do in a day. It's what we do daily in our posture, in our commitment, in our priority of how we surrender daily to the lordship mm-hmm. of Jesus. At the mm-hmm. end of the day, it's who's on the throne of our hearts and lives.
Right. And sometimes I think in our culture, surrender sounds like weakness, but it's actually where you find strength.
Yes.
Especially on the spiritual level. But it is not the natural thing for your for yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can find myself spending time with God, spending time in prayer, which I have committed in my life to do daily for the very first thing that I do when I get up. But if I haven't continued when I walk out of the room to surrender to God, then I can do, in 1 second, get upset about something. And all that is, it's not in waste because we're planting seeds in our heart, but it, I can easily go into the flesh and get upset if I am not continuing to surrender. Absolutely. It's not just, let me check this off the list. It's a true attitude and posture of your heart that you are surrendering. And it's not a weakness. It's becoming stronger.
It's maturity.
Yeah, it's maturity.
Yeah. I love the quote, a great marriage is made up of two people who surrender to God before they try to fix each other.
That is just incredible.
I think it's so important that we realize that I can't change you. You can't change me. Only God can change my heart. Only God can change your heart. But we have to be willing mm-hmm. to surrender our pride, surrender our will, our ways, our mm-hmm. preferences to God's ways and to God's will. Mm-hmm. And so, which leads me to, I think, another thing that's important. So when you talk about sparks flying in this realm of conflict, mm-hmm. is sparks need to also have the right fuel. In other words, this is the submission to each other. So you have the surrender that we do to God daily, mm-hmm. but now we're surrendering to each other. It's kind of like, you know, when you hear the word surrender, and then you hear the word submit, it's like, man, those are two big words, you know, from the standpoint of like, that's just hard to do. It is hard to do because, again, it involves our selfish desires.
And in our culture, it is not something that is maybe highly valued at all.
If anything, it's the opposite.
Right.
It's all about you. It's, you know, you be you, you know your truth. You know, who gives a rip of what somebody else says or thinks, is, you know, even and that can carry over into our marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't care what he thinks. Well, I don't care what she says. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, well, that's going back to self.
Right.
It's going back to pride. That's going back to ego.
Right.
Ego stands for edging God out. Right. So we have to submit to each other. Excuse me, in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is so important because it's not about an issue of control. It's about harmony and unity.
Yeah. It's not losing control. It's about gaining harmony.
Right. And it's not even about who's winning and who's losing, because at the end of the day, we are about winning together.
Absolutely.
You know, when it comes to, that's why we refer to our ministry organization is the Winning Family, because mm-hmm. we want families to win for the glory of God so that we can make a greater impact for God in our world. And the devil wants us to lose, and the devil wants to trip us up. Mm-hmm. The devil wants us to turn inward and to start causing fighting among one another. Why? Because that's what causes us to lose our testimony. It's what causes us to get off track. It's what ultimately the enemy uses to sabotage our lives, our marriage, our family. Well, there's nothing greater than he wants. That's his mission, is to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have to be mindful of that and realize it takes surrendering and it takes submission every single day mm-hmm. toward God, toward each other, in order for a marriage to thrive and grow and mature. To where it's not about me, it's about we, it's about us.
Right.
How can we work in unity and working together, even though mm-hmm. we may see things differently? Mm-hmm. We have different personalities, we have different points of view, perspectives. That's what makes marriage so unique and powerful, is two completely different people from two completely different backgrounds, personalities, coming together to make one flesh.
That's right.
And that's what biblical marriage is about.
Yeah, and that mutual submission to each other, and obviously to God first, surrendering to God and submitting to God. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to give up my way. I'm going to do it your way. I always think about, you know, what would Jesus do? Because he is the ultimate example to us. We're to live as he lived his life here on earth, and that fruit of the Spirit is what flowed from him, but he surrendered and he submitted to the Father and he served and he submitted to the Father's will, mm-hmm. even when to the point of pain and mm-hmm. death. The Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that's the kind of submission that the Bible talks about. And again, this is not even close to what culture is teaching us or what we see lived out daily on social media or TV or movies. This is not it. But we believe the Bible, and we believe that he has the perfect marriage manual for us, the perfect relationship manual for us. And when I think of submission, I think of the umbrella effect. You know, I think of coming up under an open umbrella. And I think of you, Rodney, in our marriage, holding that umbrella. You're submitting to God. You're under his authority. And I come up under that as well, as you're holding that umbrella and you're protecting me. And as our children were in the home, you held that umbrella as well of protection over our home. And that's just a word picture that I have in my mind. But there's challenges. I mean, the very specific challenges that people face, maybe making decisions as a couple for your future, where you're going to live, mm-hmm. what you're going to do, you know, the children's schooling, all those kind of things can bring real conflict when you have very idealized opinions about things. If we are not willing to surrender to God, asking God for clarity and direction, and submitting to what he leads us to do.
You know, going back to the umbrella analogy, I just strongly believe that it's a powerful picture of the whole family, but especially mm-hmm. in a marriage relationship, that both husband and wife, ultimately we are surrendering and we are submitting to God's authority in our lives.
Yes.
So when we come up under his authority, there is protection.
Right.
There's that covering. Yeah. And there's also his provision, that he's the ultimate provider that meets all of our needs.
Yes.
But when we corral and we pull all of our kids together, we're all standing under the umbrella of God's authority in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We're surrendering, we're submitting to his will and to his ways. Well, God blesses that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe without question is, you know, for every married couple, it is the man's responsibility to be the one to initiate and open up the umbrella and lead the way for everybody to get up under. Because again, we're all together coming up under God's authority.
Yeah, there's such clarity and such comfort in that, mm-hmm. truly. Yeah.
And I think too, one last thing here before we move on to the next one, I think oftentimes is overlooked when it comes to this whole issue of submission. But really at the end of the day, it comes down to honor. You know, that's what mm-hmm. Paul said in Ephesians 5, out of reverence for the Lord and out of reverence for each other. So that, you know, at the end of the day, honor is all about worth, weight, value. So in dishonoring somebody is basically treating somebody as common or ordinary.
Right.
So the moment we begin to dishonor and disrespect by things we say or things we do mm-hmm. or things that we don't say or things that we don't do, mm-hmm. well, what are we doing? We are devaluing that person. We're devaluing our marriage, our relationship. And ultimately, we are going against God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives and for our marriage.
Yeah.
So I like to say it this way, without honor, you're a goner in your marriage. So honor plays a big role
in that
mutual submission and in that mutual surrendering mm-hmm. to God's will and to God's ways.
Yeah, I love the quote that love doesn't demand its own way, but it is, let's walk this path together.
Yeah.
That is where the rubber meets the road, or the sparks might fly when love is demanding its own way. But it's also a beautiful thing when we're walking in sync, in unity, in common mind and heart and spirit, walking the path together that God is leading us on.
Well, there's a third area of spark, if you will, when it comes to when sparks fly in a marriage relationship. And that is really just sparks, and seeing this from a positive perspective, sparks can actually ignite a deeper connection. And this is where sacrifice and serving one another comes into play. Because again, going back to James, you know what, James 4, and I encourage any couple to read James 4 chapters or verses 1 through 10, just that whole passage of scripture just kind of unpacks the whole root issue of conflict and selfish desires and selfish ambition and pride. And again, sometimes those things happen because of fear or insecurity, you know, and anger is another key area that sabotages, because I heard someone say that if the number one strategy the devil uses to sabotage a marriage relationship is to get a couple angry and to keep them angry toward each other.
Right.
And so we have to get rid of all of that stuff. We have to surrender it to God. We have to submit to his authority, submit to his will and to his ways. Then and only then can we turn a negative into a positive, where now the focus is not on me and what I prefer. Now, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to let go of certain things that I'm trying to maybe hang on to? How can I release that, let go of that, so that I can serve your needs? What can I do to help take the focus off of my preferences? What can I do to serve you? And that's going to require sacrifice.
This is a little bit of a step away from that, but it's been said that the furthest distance between two people is misunderstanding. It is not understanding where that person is. And I think as we're talking about strong-willed marriage, talking about sparks flying when it comes to having our own way, I think really trying to keep your heart open to each other and keeping no record of wrongs, keeping forgiveness at the forefront, is truly the only way that we can then sacrificially love and serve each other. That's what Jesus did for us, that he set the example for us. He forgave us before we even sinned, before we were even born. He gave his life. He forgave us of everything. And when the disciples ask him, how many times should I forgive? Well, 70 times seven. I mean, there you can't forgive enough, because what God has done for us is just made us so wealthy as spiritually. It's given us so much spiritually, the forgiveness that we walk in, we can easily take for granted, and then we can hold a grudge against our spouse or someone that has offended us, or someone that hasn't met our expectations, and we can't walk in forgiveness. And we've been blessed so much. We've been forgiven so much. The Bible's saying that he can't forgive us truly if we can't forgive our neighbor, if we can't forgive our spouse, if we can't walk in forgiveness.
Yeah, the Bible says to make allowance for each other's faults.
Yes.
And so the importance of just giving space, giving room, because we're all imperfect. You got two imperfect people coming together in a marriage, which is going to make what? An imperfect marriage.
Right.
So we need to make allowance for each other's faults and weaknesses and, you know, differences and all those sorts of things. And the reason why is because at some point we're going to need grace. We're going to need forgiveness. And so we got to extend that toward each other.
And giving forgiveness is sacrificial when it comes to your marriage. Well, and it is serving that your spouse.
Well, Ephesians 5:25 captures that. And it says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church.
That's right.
And he gave up his life for her. And so again, I just believe that as men that God has called to lead, to initiate, we need to lead the way in this sacrificial love. Because that's what Christ did for us. He initiated it. He exemplified it. Yes. I love what the I think this is just so important, that sacrificial love transforms a strong will into a stronger marriage.
Yes.
And so that's the benefit of being able to leverage something that may appear or seem negative. The whole conversation about conflict and sparks flying and all that, that's negative. But God wants to leverage that and use that to transform our lives, transform our marriages, so that we can come together in harmony. There's unity. There's a sense of oneness. And we often say, you know, to couples all the time, it's just, we strongly believe this, it's often been said that, you know, well, we just need to work on our marriage. No, don't work on your marriage per se. Work on your togetherness. How can we find common ground? How can we come together? And we do that by just entering into each other's world, seeing things from each other's point of view, feeling what you feel, understanding the things that concern you. So all of these things, again, requires surrendering. It requires submission. It requires sacrifice. It requires service. So all of these are things that we have to be intentional and proactive with in order to have harmony and unity and oneness in the marriage.
Right. And again, this is countercultural. This is not what our culture teaches. Our culture would teach to cut off.
Way or the highway.
Yeah. I mean, and put up boundaries, put up walls. And I understand some of that, but that is not what we do in our marriage. We come towards each other. We come towards serving, towards love, towards sacrifice, towards forgiveness, and trying to understand each other instead of flying off at the handle and cutting off our spouse. That is what the culture is teaching us. And to trying to understand each other, I think understanding love languages, all of those things are important to serving our spouse, but most of all, just walking in forgiveness and looking for ways that you can meet needs in your spouse's life without expecting anything in return. That is the way that Jesus served and loved, and that's the example that is set for us. And it takes a person of strength to serve.
Absolutely. Well, to wrap up this conversation, a couple of things I think we just need to emphasize before we wrap up this episode. One is, I just want to say right out of the gate to any individual that's listening, because there's always some who say, hey, I appreciate what you're saying, but you don't understand my circumstances. And we're not advocating or encouraging anybody to become a doormat, especially if they're in an abusive situation, verbally, physically. We're not saying, oh, just, you know, roll with the punches.
No.
Obviously, we have to use wisdom. There's discretion. That's where boundaries come in. That's where seeking professional help, whatever we got to do to protect our own health and safety and well-being.
And children.
And children, exactly. But another thing is, we just wrap this up, this is also so important, that you may be in a marriage relationship with a spouse that's not a believer.
Yes.
So if a, you know, if you're unequally yoked in that regard, where one's a believer and one's not, it's going to be more of a challenge.
Yes.
But it can be victorious.
Yes.
And the best thing that you can do for your spouse is praying that God would open up their heart. That some way, somehow, through your example, the Bible even teaches, of your Christ-likeness, you being the light in your relationship, you being the one who is basically the inspiration that the other person is being inspired by the way we live. Yeah. And so in doing so, can ultimately lead that spouse into a relationship with the Lord, because then and only then can that true miracle take place of mutual oneness the way God intended.
Right. Yes, it is a miracle. And we're praying for you. Our heart is with you. It takes a lot of strength to stand and live the Christ-like life, and when you don't have the support in your home. And we're believing with you. praying absolutely. For you. Yes.
Well, we trust this episode has been helpful and encouraging to you. And just remember, as it relates to this all-important subject, we have to surrender and give it all over to the Lord. And we want to be that ongoing help and support to you. So make sure to check out thewinningfamily.com. There's all kinds of resources. We're launching a new mentoring program called Family Shift University. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to learn and grow, not only in that program, but also through signing up for our newsletter as we send out articles and blogs that I really do believe will be just that ongoing source of help, hope, and encouragement to your life. Well, thank you so much for joining us in this episode. Until next time, have an amazing rest of your week.